This Civic Media podcast is sponsored by UW Organ and Tissue Donation. Organ donations are desperately needed, and now is the right time to become an organ donor. Talk to your family. Get the dot. Save lives. Go to heroicdeed.com.
October the 18th of 2024. Beautiful start here in north central Wisconsin. Sunny skies, temperature of 47 degrees. I'm Chad Holmes, Chad Holmes Show, 98.9 WXCO, BowFallsRadio.com, mobile devices and Alexa by searching WXCO, and on the Civic Media app. Coming up a little bit later in the program at the bottom of the hour, 9:34, we will be joined by Maria Haskins. She is going to talk about Election Day, as Maria is from Wisconsin Native Vote, and she is a manager getting Native Americans out in our area to vote, and also an organizer with Wisconsin Conservation Voters. She'll be with us at 9:34, but very happy that allowing us to bring on Maria and moving his segments up just a little bit to talk some Wisconsin sports is Paul Micklegg. And Coach, good to see you.
Good to see you. I'm kind of like a trained seal, though. So, like, I didn't know that. No, it's all. It doesn't seem any different from this time or that time. So it's all good.
That 15-minute change doesn't throw your body off in any way.
I guess it did not. I never really even thought about it until you just mentioned it.
Well, wrapping up the regular season tonight, I mentioned that the game will be on the Sports 3 stream tonight on BowFallsRadio.com and the Civic Media app. Can also tune in tomorrow morning. We'll play it at 11 o'clock for all the people on the radio right after Sully. So we got that big lead-in audience to relive the Newman football game tomorrow morning at 11. But obviously, it's an exciting time. Not used to it being this warm for the last week of the regular season.
Yeah, it's really nice out there, and the only place you can get it, I know. I just talked to him this morning. There's no live, like, video stream. So the only place you can get it
is the only place you can get it is you. I know, it's like that breaks my heart.
So that makes sure everybody knows.
For the people that want the video stream, you know, it's like, it makes me feel so bad.
Only audio right here.
Hey, let's jump into the other side, because I know you like to kind of, you know, sit back and think about the other aspects of Wisconsin sports that you love. Tomorrow, 11 a.m., the Badgers at Northwestern, and two good wins for Bucky last week, especially on the road at Rutgers. And the thing about the last 2 weeks that were a little different than the first 2 weeks, where the Badgers, I think, in the first 2 weeks were expected to win and take control. They did it. They took control the last 2 weeks, and obviously Purdue struggling, and Rutgers has had a really good season up to this point, but holy
Purdue
cow.
Almost beat Illinois last week.
I know they did, and frankly, they're still not good. That was
no.
I mean, I don't know. I think Illinois must have fell asleep in the second half. They gave up like 24 points in the fourth quarter. Or something. They were off to the fifth quarter tailgate because they were way up. But okay, let's not try to make that game. Oh, that was a great win for Wisconsin. No, they took care of.
No. I never said it was a great win. But my point being is that you still got to play the games, and you still got to and how you look and how you do things.
Can I make my point and then you can start talking? I mean, I haven't finished making my point and you're already jumping in. The thing that was impressive is they actually look like a team that came in there and was the kind of team that they want to be the last 2 weeks. They took charge. They were the bully on the block the last 2 weeks. That was impressive, wasn't it?
Yeah, I thought especially because I don't know. Actually, when they played Purdue, I thought they were that first half was kind of up and down. I think they had a couple of interceptions, and they didn't kind of start pulling away until the end of that first half. That first quarter was not like domination.
But Purdue almost beat Illinois, so I guess that's.
But then they Well, you're acting like, you know, Purdue's the worst team, and you're like big
they are
Illinois.
The worst team.
You're a big Illinois fan, and Brett Bielema.
Yeah,
I
am.
So what happened there? Why? I mean,
hey, they won the game.
Okay, all right. So, the Wisconsin can say they won the first
they
two
did.
Games too.
They did.
So they can say the same
there
thing.
There you go.
So,
all right,
but there is something to be said that
are you calling me a hypocrite here?
Yes, I am. Yes, I am.
Haymakers here.
Yes.
Quickly?
Yeah. Right. Start this Friday morning off good. And then last week, though, I mean, to get 500 yards for 2 weeks in a row, they probably haven't done that for 20-some years, and that was impressive that how they did it. I thought last week's obviously was more impressive than the week before even.
Right.
And they took it from the start to the finish and with a lot of pressure. I mean, again, there's a lot of pressure going into those two games. And I'm not
absolutely.
Saying that they might not lose or win the rest of their games, whatever. But the bottom line is they had a lot of pressure going into these two games. And they came out on the correct end. And give them credit, the coaching staff. Give 100% to the coaching staff, making sure that they ignored all the other stuff, outside noise, and came and played. But this was another, you know, I don't want to say, I'm going to use your terminology. This is a big game.
It is a big game.
This is a big game purposes of getting to 500 again, for sure.
But also, you know, to put themselves in a position where if it does come together, I mean, I think sometimes teams go, okay, they're going to be 12-1, and then we have the expectation. I think a lot of folks say, well, now we'll be lucky to be 500. Hey, they've got one loss in conference. If they start doing something, they can still get involved in something good. Let's be positive here.
Yeah, who said that was? Who said?
No. But I mean, I think there's a lot of sense that hey, we got to win this game tomorrow just to make sure we get to the bowl game again. Well, maybe you could build on that and do even more. Beat Oregon and beat Iowa and beat all these other teams.
Well, if you don't beat Northwestern, you're not beating those other teams. That's the philosophy I have.
That is true.
And you're talking about their final three games.
I know they're
are
hard.
Again at home.
Okay.
Oregon,
hard.
Number what? Three ranked? Yep, it's three or two. Penn State's the other one.
Well, two or three. We'll find out where
tomorrow.
Oregon really stands on Sully's this, college
tomorrow. Listen up, and Sully will tell you who's
where
supposed
Oregon,
to be wherever Oregon. Those two teams
yeah,
are.
I know.
But you got the number two and three ranked team in the nation coming in, and then your final home game is against Minnesota, which just beat USC at home, and they won on the road against UCLA. So that's not a gimme anyways.
The boat's rolling.
Boat is not sinking yet. So you're talking about those are the three home games. That's not even talking about the road games. So
we can flip it on its head and say, hey, there's chances there because they're at home.
Yeah, of course there's chances. But the thing is, though, those chances, do you want to be back in the 80s?
I know.
You know what I'm saying? And hoping to get to 500? I think to if they actually want to go above, they have to win this game this week.
Of course, yes.
And I don't think it's going to be easy.
No, they got Luke Fickell this week and talking about Northwestern. Last year, Northwestern beat them up. They came into Madison and they beat them at the line of scrimmage 24-10.
Do you remember we were listening to that game on the way home from Rapids? And they couldn't do anything. And Northwestern was doing everything at the line of scrimmage.
Didn't they score their touchdown like in the last minute of the game?
It was late.
It was even worse than the score was.
It was just a domination. They were winning at the line of scrimmage. Every time you were listening, it was three and out.
So,
I mean, they were getting dominated, and that and they have a lot of those guys back, obviously. And it's got to be a weird feeling. I don't really care what anybody says. 12,000 people only?
I know. It's just crazy.
I mean, my guess would be most of them are going to be Northwestern, right?
Well, who knows? Badgers usually those games, there's plenty of Badger fans at Northwestern.
Actually. There usually is.
Yeah, so I don't know how those tickets are allocated, so no, it'd be very, very interesting. What does he think Ches Malusi thinks? He leaves the team and all of a sudden they start playing great. It's like, I won't feel bad for the guy. It's like, last two games, they played outstanding football and their running game is better and everything else.
But do we know why? I mean, I don't think we totally know why he left yet.
I don't think we know why either.
And so I don't know if
addition by subtraction just for the – and again, I think maybe it clears things up with the running back situation as well, doesn't it?
Well, it helps when you get bigger holes, and it helps when you run the ball, and it helps when you complete passes, and it helps.
Contract extension for Phil Longo, right?
If Phil Longo goes and does what you are saying that they're going to do, the Badgers, that they're going to win the Big Ten here, I guess.
I didn't say they're going, but I think we can have some hope. I'm Mr. Optimism. The sun is shining.
Well, you want to put a piece on that?
I am not putting a piece on it. I'm not that optimistic.
Okay, because I would, because I think he's got the offense going in the right direction.
Right.
Tip your hat. You got to compliment the guy when he's doing this stuff right.
Tomorrow is a massive game, actually. I mean, to be 5-2 then, and going into the toughest part of that schedule. And then all of a sudden, yeah. And frankly, if they're 5-2, that's kind of where people expected them to be at this point. The season is really going to almost restart in a sense. I think it started with the Alabama and USC games more than anything else. But going into the season, isn't that pretty much what you would have thought they would have been, 5-2 after 7 games?
Right where they are, yeah.
Yeah.
So I mean, so they would be, like you said, they would be right where I think most people thought most likely they would be.
Right.
So from there on, but if you go 4-3 and you have that schedule, now you're like, oh boy. Because you might not be favored in any of those games from then on out.
Right. I mean, there's really.
Actually, let me rephrase that. You won't be favored besides maybe the Minnesota game.
Right. Depends on that. Are they going to win tomorrow?
That's a good question.
You're Mr. Gambler over there.
I mean, I hope they do. I mean, I.
What do you think they're going to win? Are you going to continue the momentum?
I'm finally feeling good about that. How, like, maybe they did find like who they are.
That's the
and
thing.
I'm really hoping that's for their sake that's what happened. And I think we'll find that out because you can have a 2-game hiccup.
Yeah.
Just like you said, Purdue's not good. You're right. But, you know, so abbreviation is that they almost beat Illinois. Do you know what I'm saying? Like it's not because Illinois is not a lot better than them. You can have abbreviations. If you start getting to 3 games doing it, well, maybe now you have found it. I just think 2 games you can kind of get away with it.
Right.
And 3 games will solidify that they might be turning that corner and things are looking good.
I want Ian to pull that last point. He said, you're right. I want that put on a loop on the hotkeys so we can have that available.
I'll put that on a loop.
Every time I want to point at you, I'll hear.
Ian, don't humor him. Don't humor him, please. Don't humor him.
I don't have the power to do that right now.
We're going to come back, talk about the Packers and the Bucks actually have their tip-off early next week. So touch on that as well. So we'll come back. More with Paul Micklin coming up in 2 minutes here on 98.9 WXCO.
You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
Chad Holmes Show, 98.9 WXCO, BowFallsRadio.com, mobile devices, and Alexa by searching WXCO. And on the Civic Media app, again, we'll have Maria Haskins of Wisconsin Conservation Voters and Wisconsin Native Vote coming up at 9:34 this morning. And, of course, we'll have our daily history lesson and number for the day quiz with Ian coming up at the end of the show.
What is he this week?
He's 2-2 this week. So he's already passed. But now we got to get a winning week because we don't – we'll give him a passing grade for being above 33% because it's 1 out of 3, you know, numbers.
Yep, yep.
But
it's better than last week. Last week I didn't get any.
Yeah, I heard that actually. I was driving and
that was rough.
That was the topic around town. Ian got 0 last week.
Yes.
Yeah, my parents would never let me hear the end of that.
So we'll see if we can get a winning week coming up at the end of the show. It was a winning week for the Pack last week. They beat the Cards at Lambeau Field by, 21 points. Big, I should say big. A good matchup this week against Houston. A good football
Ian, you
game.
Can also put, you can say big. Anytime Chad says big, put that on there. You can just,
big,
boop, big.
Big, 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 big. Do you like the kicker change?
Yeah. I mean, I
Narvison don't. Just seemed like he just, it was a little too much for him at this point, I guess. Again, he may get another chance to be great. Because sometimes those kickers, you know, just whatever the situation is, I kind of feel for the guy. I mean, it's like, but he was just consistently missing a lot of kicks.
Do you feel for Carlson and Joseph? I mean, they got.
I feel bad for Narvison. I don't know why. I just found it odd real fast. Every time he went out there wearing 44, it looked like he was like some kind of. It was like Rudy going out there. He didn't look like a kicker to me. You're used to seeing kickers that wear like number one. He's out there with number 44. It looked like a guy they brought off the street to kick the football. I found it odd seeing a guy wearing number 44 kicking the ball for the Packers.
He seemed like he had a good leg. He seemed like they kind of.
They gave him an extra chance. I mean, they could have got rid of him after the Ram game, I think it was.
Yeah. Well, I don't think that guy wasn't cleared. No, that guy wasn't cleared.
Yeah, it's wonderful to get a guy waiting to be cleared from a sexual assault charge. I got to tell you, that really made me feel good. And that Goody's really, really comfortable with this. Really, really comfortable.
I'm going to say he did get cleared of it. You know what I mean? I don't know. Correct. I mean, that's the whole reason he was cut, though, in the first place in the spring, was because he was charged.
Yep.
I mean, because Washington signed him, and then they got rid of him once that happened. I mean, after. Right, right. So.
All right.
But we'll move on that. Hopefully he, I mean, at some point in time, and probably Reddy did, you could say the playoff game last year, the Viking game this year. Like it was going to catch up to you, and you're going to lose games,
And frankly, doing it after a win was the right way. Not wait till after a loss. Hey, be proactive. I agree with that.
I think that they had to do something. But the thing is, I saw and I was watching. What was it? Sunday night or Joseph? He missed one. You know what I mean? Like these guys are. None of these guys are. Right now, some of these lower tier guys are not automatic.
They're darn close, though. I mean, I actually think that they should narrow the goalposts because it's becoming. I mean, these guys are so good these days. It really, it's not. It's almost not a challenge up to 55, 60 yards. I mean, it's really. It really is amazing.
It's not a challenge.
It is not a challenge. I mean,
Narvison, I feel bad for you, but we're going to shorten those things up a little bit.
If you look at Narvison's numbers compared to maybe 20 years ago, he'd be among the best kickers in the league. These guys are that good right now. I mean, they. I don't know what you're watching. I mean, that Dallas guy's had, 8 weeks in a row with at least 50-yard field goal? I mean, these guys are really good.
Correct. And you know what? If they're really good, it's just like those guys are stronger and bigger and faster than they were 30, 40 years ago, too.
$6 million man.
I mean, this is what happens. I mean, this is what they get better. But I'll tell you this. If they would and make it more difficult to kick field goals, I think you are actually changing the game of football.
Well, they've already changed.
Because analytics. I'm talking about because analytics about going for it this and that.
Oh, absolutely.
And I don't know.
They already go for it more often. They would even go more often. You're exactly right.
I mean, it would change the whole complexion of the game.
You're right. Real fast, we only have a couple minutes. The Bucs do start off next week against Philadelphia. I got to say, I'm not overly optimistic. I think they're going to be good. I just don't think they're going to be a team that's good enough to beat the Bostons and even Philadelphia with George now over there. And the Bucks are getting old. I mean, Middleton's not been playing at all in the preseason. We'll see if he's back for the regular season. But this feels like, a bit of a tipping point for the Bucks right now.
Yeah, I happened to watch a little bit last night, and my brother texted me and goes, man, these guys really don't look good. And I understand that these guys, they had a lot of guys out last night. Basically all the old guys, but they had all the old guys out. And and we were getting beat pretty handily with the younger guys. So what does that say? The depth that must not be there. And are you counting on Brook Lopez, Giannis, Dame,
Middleton,
and Portis all to make it through all healthy?
It's not happening.
I mean, because that's what you're saying, right? I mean, there is no depth, I don't think.
Man, it feels like a scary time, too, because if it goes sideways, and then all the questions pop up, you know, because Giannis ain't going through a rebuild. It just ain't happening.
No. But, I mean, he's still part of the equation.
Right,
What I'm saying is that...
But, I mean, if things
is
fall
he
apart,
as good as he... Is he going to be... Has
well,
his, you
he
know,
has, he's been hurt himself. I mean,
he's been hurt himself.
At bad times the last 2 years. So, I got to say, I'm a little nervous about this season. They play Philly in their opener on Wednesday, and that's a good Philly team. So, we'll see.
Now, they were saying when Dallas got together after the first year and the whole full year, last year they were really good.
Yes, yes.
So hopefully that can happen for the Bucks.
Yeah, Dame Lillard has to be a first-team level performer this year. If he's not, then...
We're in trouble.
We're in trouble.
Yes.
Well, have fun in your trek here this evening, and we'll catch you next week.
Well, you have a good time. Stay in town. Good luck to you, and enjoy the beautiful weather today, everybody.
We're going to have an information update coming up. Chad Holmes Show, 98.9 WXCO.
You're an organ donor, right? Well, here's a tragic fact. Approximately 20 people die each day waiting for precious donated organs. You could make a life-saving decision simply by getting that important dot on your driver's license. That little dot shows those who need to know that you've made a decision to donate organs at a critical time. Go to heroicdeed.com to learn more about the importance of organ donation and how you can make your wishes known. Talk to your family. Get the dot. Save lives. HeroicDeed.com.
We are back, Chad Holmes Show, 98.9 WXCO, online at BullFallsRadio.com, mobile devices and Alexa by searching WXCO, and on the Civic Media app. We are still waiting to be connected with Maria Haskins, again, from Wisconsin Native Vote, Wisconsin Native Vote Manager, and also organizer with Wisconsin Conservation Voters. So, again, having maybe a issue getting connected here, so hopefully Maria will be able to join us here in the next few moments. She is part of a group that is trying to do a number of things, trying to get people to the polls. And one of the interesting things that I want to talk about, again, when you look at Native Votes and the manager helping to get Natives out, Native Americans out to the polling places for Election Day, and also conservation voters. There are big gaps. You have certain groups that just want to try to do everything they can to put up barriers to getting people to the polls, which is the complete opposite of what we should be striving for as a democracy. It's baffling on so many different levels that we have these folks that are trying to make it harder and harder and harder to get people to the polls and to let people vote, because our system does not work unless you have the will of the people. If you get to a point where you have a low percentage of folks going to the polls and then electing a group that obviously is not providing the will of the people, the system will crumble at that point. The only way for this system to continually evolve and still be, after 200 and nearly 50 years, the system that we're going to pursue here in the United States of America, is to have as many people give their permission or their support to the folks that they ultimately elect to represent them. But we see those, and again, I don't mean to be unfair, but those on the right who are trying to make smaller and smaller and smaller the amount of folks who go to the polls, because they feel like that would be to their advantage, and to have truly minority government. That cannot work in our system. It simply can't. We need to have folks get to the polls and then have that connection with our government. And that's one of the areas as well that's been over the last 40 years, going back to when Ronald Reagan became president. He ran as saying in one of his campaign lines that was so popular for those on the right, is talking about the scariest words you can hear. I'm from the government and I'm here to help. Basically saying that the government would not allow, or would not be helping people, that the government would hurt, that government is bad. Government, having no government is better than having a good government. And for the last 40 plus years, you've had those on the right run that government is bad. We should get government out of the way. No, government does a lot of great things. I saw a story this week. I wish I was expecting to have our interview here. But if we recall, I don't even know how long ago it was. It was a number of months ago in Maryland, the port of Baltimore. They had that tragedy, but the government got involved and very quickly had the Port of Baltimore reopened. And it shows when you have people who are actually good at what they do, things can get done. The bridge fell. A barge ran into the bridge. It fell. And that would be...
I remember this.
Yes,
this
remember
story.
That? But we don't hear about the aspect of how quickly it was rebuilt, because the Biden administration, the governor of Maryland, and all sorts of other government officials got together and was able to clear the wreckage and then start the rebuilding process and be able to quickly and safely reopen the 700-foot wide by 50-foot deep shipping channel to the Port of Baltimore following the March 26th collapse. And they had the collapse on March 26th, and they had the reopening in early June. I mean, it's amazing. It's an amazing job that was
truly
done, that it shows when government gets together, has people that are smart and believe in the mission, you can make things happen so very quickly. So again, this idea that, well, if we get government out of the way, everything will be great. No, that is not the way it works. And the idea, and it makes for a self-fulfilling prophecy as well. Because say you're running for office, and you're running around to the people in your district and saying, hey, I'm running for office because I think government needs to get out of the way, that government does not help. And I do believe in what Ronald Reagan said, that the scariest words you can hear are, I'm from the government and I'm here to help. Well,
agreed.
Then you go into office. Do you want to show that government works? No, you ran on saying government doesn't work. Again, it's just, it's basically chasing your tail. And it's not the right way of going about things. So, but did you hear about the reopening of the Port of Baltimore? We don't hear about that. We don't hear about the positive stories in terms of how government can work. And here you have, again, We want people to go to the polls, and for people like Maria Haskins and the people that she works with,
yeah,
to try to get people to the polls. And something that in our communication, I wish wish she was here, because a few different interesting items that I got in my communication with her, and unfortunately, hopefully we'll be able to get her on the show at some point, because again, it was a situation where, you know, I wanted to talk about one aspect that people are afraid to talk about. Her group is pushing the word that felons can vote as long as they are done with commitment to the Department of Corrections. You know what that means? When you pay your debt to society, you should still have a voice in your society, in your community.
Which I think is a very reasonable thing to do, because, you know, everybody makes mistakes. I mean, and if you're willing to put in the time to correct those mistakes and try to do better, if you're given a second chance and you use it well, you deserve to have your voice be heard, and you deserve to vote, absolutely.
But the thing about it is that makes it hard, and I think it actually shows courage in her work that she's out there saying, hey, again, felons who paid their debt to society can vote. But then you can just imagine the folks on the other side. Oh, soft on crime. Again, I still have all these, you know, all these flyers next to me. You saw what they say. I mean, yeah, talking about basically making it sound like Kamala Harris is at the jailhouse door opening it up to allow them to go out. You've seen the commercials as well for against Yi. Oh, he's part of a radical organization that wants to have everybody out of jail. I mean, it's ridiculous.
It just makes me sick to my stomach. It really does.
Yes, and exactly right. So the idea that there are people out there who say, no, we all have to have skin in this game. And for folks who vote, you have that. That's why it's important that we get as many folks out there voting as possible, because then everybody's got that skin in the game. One of the things that's frustrating is the folks that don't vote and say, well, it doesn't matter. My vote doesn't matter.
Yes, it does.
It does. Number one, if you look at the state of Wisconsin, basically one or two votes in every district in the state of Wisconsin proved to be the difference in statewide elections over the last couple of decades. But number two, we all have, not just the right, but I do think it's a responsibility to be involved in our government. And being and the first level of being involved in our government is going out and voting.
Absolutely.
Because, again, if you go back, I've said this before, on July the 4th of 2026, which is, you know, less than 2 years away, we are going to have I hope, a massive celebration for the 250th anniversary of the signing of the Declaration of Independence.
Absolutely.
Going back to that era, going back to that history, those people put their heads on the chopping block. If they would have been caught by the British, they would have been executed, because they were announcing they're pulling away from the British.
Back in those days, it was considered a treason.
It was treason, actually. I mean, they decided to be treasonous against the British crown. But the thing about it is, all those people that died in the Revolutionary War, in the War of 1812, those who died in the Civil War to keep the Union intact, those who died during World War I, those who died during World War II, those who died during the Korean conflict, those who died in Vietnam, those who have died in the wars in the Middle East, the Gulf Wars 1 and 2, those who have died in Afghanistan under the flag of this country. It's for what we are, what we stand for. It's about democracy. And if you don't take that first step and vote, you're dishonoring, in a way, those folks who started this country. And then you take the next steps. It means being engaged in what's happening with your government. It's being engaged with the meetings at your school board, with your city hall, with your county board, everything else. And then you can take that next step by actually running for office and trying to serve your community. So there's so many different layers. And unfortunately, our guest has not checked in with us, Maria Haskins. So hopefully, I've not seen any notes from her. I'd given her the link to join us through our StreamYard. I gave her the number to be able to join us if that didn't work. But unfortunately, again, things come up. In fact, last night, I felt so bad last night, because I had scheduled, because on Civic Media, there's a show called Busted Pencils. It's an education-based program. And it was set up for me to come on the show to talk about high school sports. I forgot about it.
Oh.
I forgot. I was supposed to do it at Wausau East last night before I went on the air. But I was running around, and I forgot. And I got home, and I look at my email, and it's like, oh, you're going to drink? Oh.
And you're only human.
And I sent a note that said, oh, I'm sorry. I got caught up in all the activities going on before the Pink game, and I just apologized. And it's like, oh, I felt so bad as I got home. It's like, oh, how could I do that? And so for somebody who has anything that comes up or issues, believe me, yeah. I'm gonna understand it because it happened to me just last night.
We've all been there.
Oh, it was like, it was so bad, and I feel bad for the busted pencils folks, and I hope that they'll want me back on at some point, but unfortunately was not able to connect with them last night, and hopefully maybe sometime in the future we'll do that. And that's what we're going to try to do with Maria Haskins and try to get her back and talk about some of the important work she is doing, again, as Wisconsin Native Vote Manager and also organizer with Wisconsin Conservation Voters. So,
and something I would like to say about the voting aspect, I know that there are many people out there who complain about the state of the government and the things that should be done. Well, the thing is, though, how are we going to fix these issues if you don't get out there and vote? And don't complain about how bad things are. If you want to change things for the better, you have to vote. That's why voting matters, because your voice has a right to be heard. If you disagree with something, if you think we could do things better, if you think the person in office is, you know, office is not doing a good job and someone else should step up, that's why you need to vote. So don't say that voting is not important. Voting is the backbone of our democracy. I hope that's right.
You're right. You're exactly right. And again, it's the minimum.
If you don't vote, how are things going to change?
It's the minimum. It is. It's the minimum. And those folks that go out there and try to get voters registered into the polls, and those who work on campaigns and who's that run for office, they're all the building blocks of our democracy.
Mm-hmm.
And saying that government doesn't work and that's not, if government doesn't work in some way, then they should try to fix it in some way. Not just saying, hey, then no government. I mean, it's wrong. It's 9:49. Coming up next, our daily history lesson here on 98.9 WXCO.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
And welcome back, Chad Holmes Show, 98.9 WXCO, BowFallsRadio.com, mobile devices, and Alexa by searching WXCO. And on the Civic Media app, it is Friday morning, October the 18th of 2024. And it is, what is it, day number, we're getting close to 300 in terms of the days. It is day number 292. So there are 74 days remaining in the year of 2024. And plenty of famous things have occurred on this date in history. On this date in 1867, the United States took possession of Alaska after purchasing from Russia for $7.2 million. On this date in 1898, the United States took possession of Puerto Rico. On this date in 1921, Charles Perkins Streights of Iowa received a patent for his pop-up toaster. On this date, 99 years ago today, the Grand Ole Opry opened. On this date, in 1992, as the Toronto Blue Jays met the Atlanta Braves in the World Series, the U.S. Marine Color Guard presented the Canadian flag upside down. It was just a mistake, but it still was not taken very nicely in Canada.
Ouch.
Toronto did get revenge. They won the game 5-4, then also won the World Series in 6 games. On this date in 2016, the White House said it was confident Russia was behind a recent email hacking and attempts to influence the U.S. election. And on this date in 2019, the first all-female spacewalk by NASA occurred as astronauts Christina Koch and Jessica Meir went outside the International Space Station. Some famous people are celebrating their birthdays today. Actor Joe Morton of Scandal and Terminator 2 is 77 years old today. Pam Dauber played Mindy on Mork and Mindy, 73 years old today. Chuck Lorre, the producer of The Big Bang Theory and 2 and a Half Men, 72 years old today. Jean-Claude Van Damme is 64. Skier Lindsey Vonn, one of the most successful United States skiers in history, is 40. Zac Efron is 37. Bristol Palin, the daughter of Sarah Palin, Bristol is 34. And Tyler Posey of Teen Wolf and Jane the Virgin is 33. If you out there celebrating your birthday, happy birthday to you from all of us at 98.9 WXCO. Some special events being acknowledged today. It is International Legging Day. It is Chocolate Cupcake Day. That sounds good.
Delicious.
It is Mammography Day. It is No Beard Day. Well, between you and me, we have no beard, so I guess we're celebrating it. It is World Menopause Day and World Student Day. So those are the special events being acknowledged here today.
Nice.
All right, it is time. I don't even know what the number for the day topic is. I haven't looked at it.
I don't know either. It's a nice surprise, though.
All right, so let's see. Ah, I see it says number for the day. It's interesting.
Okay.
But Ian was always the person that we give the number for the day quiz to. We give 3 choices for our number for the day. So that means based on the map, he should get 1 out of 3 right. That's 33%. So during the course of a week, if he gets better than 33%, it's a passing grade. If he gets under 33%, it's a failing grade. Also, passing grade is one thing. We want a winning week. That means getting more right than wrong.
Yes.
And so far this week, we know it's going to be a passing grade. He's already got up to 2. So 2 out of 4, he's 2 and 2.
Yes.
And that means today, you go for a winning week. Try
Absolutely.
To get that third correct answer here on the number for the day quiz. All right. The number for the day is the average number of arguments that break out during a week-long trip with the whole family. The average number of arguments that break out during a week-long trip with the whole family.
Oh, this is going to be interesting.
Is the correct answer 2? Is the correct answer 5? Is the correct answer 8? Average number of arguments that break out during a week-long trip with the whole family. I don't know where they get this. To be honest with you,
a week-long trip.
I almost feel bad for doing this one because I don't like this one. But it's what they sent to me. Number for the day.
Okay.
Because I don't. What do you think?
2, 5, or 8? Well, I know as one.
Let's do this one. Okay, do it quickly.
Okay.
Yeah. And if you get it wrong, I'm gonna give you a bonus one to get because I just don't like this one.
Okay, I'm gonna say 8. I'm gonna go with the biggest number, just for the fun of it. I went with C. It's my final answer.
It is 2, and I don't believe that. To be honest with you,
well,
it doesn't
I think
say
it's
where it
worth 8.
I know. So okay. I want to give you a real good chance here.
Okay, go ahead.
All right. In a recent survey, what percent of workers describe their boss as great?
What percentage of workers?
Yep.
Okay.
Is the correct answer 28%?
Okay.
Is the correct answer 38%? Is the correct answer 48%?
Okay, I'm going to go with B. I'm going to go with 38. I'm going to meet in the middle here. B. is my final answer. 38.
The correct answer. What percent describe their boss as great? 38%.
Yes.
So you're either 3 of 6 or 3 of 5.
Oh, 3 of 5 is fine with me.
3 of 6 even would be fine because that's still 50%. Have a great weekend.
You too, Chad. Have a good weekend, everybody.
Matt and Air on Air coming up next on 98.9 WXCO.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.